Now, you see, Richard was connected to Plantagenets. The Plantagenets conquered all the Anglo-Saxons.
Henry II was the very first Plantagenet.
And he had two heirs to the throne.
The first was Richard called the Lionheart.
The second was John, who signed the Magna Carta.
His flunky was the Sheriff of Nottingham.
And Henry III was heir to the throne.
Damn kings, damn kings, damn. Dead kings, damn kings, damn kings, damn. Dead kings, damn kings, damn kings, damn. Dead kings, now who's the heir to the throne?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 310, Kings and Queens. On our tour of the UK last summer of 2012, and yes, the tour was mostly in England, not at all Scotland, and barely Wales, we know. We discovered that our stage manager and driver, Davy Naylor, is a veritable font of knowledge and trivia about the kings and queens of England. So, it seems only appropriate that on this Monday after the American elections, we share this dinner table conversation in a noisy Indian restaurant around the corner from the Arts Theater with you, during which Davy quite graciously regaled us with England's royal dynasties.
Let's start with, let's go back to the 9th century. Let's start there with Offa. Offa was a house of Mercia. I think that's 8th, 9th, no, probably 8th century, I think. He was the first kind of king of the Angles, as it were. But, you know, but then you can talk
so
about...
So 9th century, this is 400 years after the Romans have sort of abandoned things.
About then, but I mean, really, you can then... House Mercia was kind of like in the central of England, but then, you know, southern England, the more sort of like bigger part of England was the House of Wessex, which was 802 was Egbert, and then you had several other things. You had Ethelwulf and Ethelbald and Ethelred the Unready. These are all House of Wessex, the Saxons, you see. You had, of course, Alfred the Great, who burnt the cakes. And of course, Edmund Ironside, who went around in a wheelchair.
Is this the setting for the song "The Fairy Crossed the Mercia"?
That one. That's the one. Yes. But then the Danes came over, and you've got Harold Bluetooth, who was a great communicator, obviously. In fact, actually, that is actually where the Bluetooth comes from. It is named after him, and his son Sween Forkbeard, and all these, and King Canute, who tried to make the tide. Bid his command.
This is so funny. I know some of these are jokes, but a lot of this sounds like a joke. And I can't wait to Google so much of this.
Now, I know what everybody's asking. How the hell does he know all this?
Yeah.
Can you give us a little of your background?
Does every English schoolboy knows this. Is that right?
I don't know. I don't know if they do. I mean, it's just something I've always been interested in.
But you studied history, didn't you?
I did study history as well.
Read history.
I read British history, yes, at college.
Nerd!
So anyway,
thank you, Ali.
So anyway, thank you, Ali. Here we are in 1042, and
that was 200 years, pretty quick. Nice.
And we first of all we're looking at Edward the Confessor. Edward the Confessor built Westminster Abbey, and he was the first kind of like king of England. He died in 1066, and this poor chap called Harold Godwinson came to the throne, and he was a poor fortunate chap because he had people invading all over the place. He went all the way up to Stamford Bridge, which is in north of England. And defeated the Vikings who came over. Then he had to hotfoot it all the way down to Hastings to fight another battle, which he obviously lost, yes. As everybody knows. And then, you know, we're starting to get into the sort of like the Normans' time, you know, 1066 is.
And all that.
And all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And of course, you know, they started using the regnal numbers then during the Normans. William the First, or William the Bastard, as he was known, William the Conqueror.
So William the First, William the Bastard, William the Conqueror are all the same guy.
All the same chap. He did the Doomsday Book, but then he died died in 1087, and his son, William II, William Rufus, became king. In the year 1100, he was riding in New Forest, and he was shot by an arrow. We don't know why or who, but he was accidentally shot. And
it was me.
Yeah. And then we have Henry. We have first Henry. Henry the First. Beauclerc was his nickname.
What was it?
Beauclerc.
We're into the Henrys.
We're in 1100.
Have they made a movie about this Henry yet?
No, he was pretty boring. Okay. But
Henry the Second.
Now we're getting. Let's go right. To Henry the Second now. Of course, Henry.
I'm sorry. Can we back up? Arthur, fictional or real? Because we've gone past that time period, correct?
Yes. Oh, I think probably. I don't know. Probably fictional.
Explain the difference between a myth and a legend.
Yes, what's the difference between a myth and a legend?
Well, myths are stories that never took place about people that never existed. Legends are stories that probably never took place about people who probably did exist. So Arthur probably was a real person, but he probably didn't have a round table and all the rest of it.
In fact, there was a film with...
Like The Legend of Jesus, for instance.
Oh, okay. Well,
he probably lived.
That's but half the Midwest now not listening to your podcast anymore. Yes, right.
Actually, if you want to interest the women out there who are listening, can you just jump ahead to Colin Firth and the King's Speech?
Hang on, we'll get there. Impatient.
Well, I can go to what's his name?
Go ahead. Go back to where we interrupted.
No. Because what's his name? Chappie who?
Peter O'Toole.
No. You're gonna have to edit this bit.
I will.
English actor Clive Owen. Clive Owen played King Arthur in that awful thing. But the one thing they probably got right was actually probably was kind of like a. During the Roman times, the Romans kind of like came over and conquered, but they didn't want to. They were the overlords, but they let the kings like Coriolanus and people like that still be king. But they were paid homage to the Romans. That was the idea. So Arthur probably was something like that. Anyway, I digress. Anyway, Henry I died in 1135, and
as everyone knows,
and he didn't leave any male heir. So his daughter Miltilda became empress. But then there was a bit of fighting with her cousin Stephen of Blois. And they had a little bit of a spat and blah blah blah. And it's like, anyway, Stephen became king, and then he died in 1154, but then Henry II, who was Matilda's son, became king. And yes, Peter O'Toole, and you know,
Catherine Hepburn.
Hepburn, that's right. Eleanor Aquitaine, yes, and he ruled most of England and Wales and Ireland and most of France. You know, it was quite a massive kingdom at that point. But then he died in 1189,
Did he have to fight for that kingdom? Or no, he married Eleanor of Aquitaine,
yes,
and acquired.
He did acquire, but he was a brutal fighter and he's one of my favourite monarchs, to be honest.
He's one of your top five monarchs?
Yes, but within 15...
And the chess set.
But within 15 years of his death, it had all been lost by his son.
Which one? Anthony Hopkins or Nigel Terry?
Nigel Terry.
Nigel
Terry. Yes.
King John.
King John, yes. But anyway, in between that, there was Richard I, Cor de Lion, the Lionheart, who ruled from 1189 to 1199. He spent about 9 years he reigned. He actually spent only 6 months of that in England, and he spent most of it on crusades. Anyway, John came along. He was nicknamed.
Did he speak English even?
Who, Richard Lionheart?
None of these kings spoke. Mostly spoke French anyway, to be honest. Or kind of like a cod Latin. John or Lackland, as he was called, or Sans Terre. He came
King John, father of the Magna Carta?
Well, it's only because he was so weak that the landowners actually forced it upon him, really. So,
right, and he had to take it.
And a year after he signed it in 1215, he was dead.
Magna Carta, beginning of a democratic charter. Even though my feudal lords used intimidation, I saved the country and Western civilization.
Now his son, who was only in his teens at the time, Henry III, he lasted quite a long time. He built all the crosses to his wife who died, Eleanor, you know, King's Cross, Charing Cross, all these sort of things. These crosses, right. This is a homage to her
and
wife.
And the crosses were built to in the stations where the body was displayed.
Correct, yes, yeah. Absolutely. And this that'll take you to 1272, and then we start getting Edwards, so lots of Edwards. You get Longshanks, Edward I, 1172 to 1307, then Edward II, 1307 to 1327. He died rather horribly with a red-hot poker up the...
the bum.
That's the word, yes. And then we have Henry III, who was a very young king as well, and he lasted quite long. He lasted exactly 50 years, from 1327 to 1377. And then we have Richard II.
Is this genetic? Are you a genetic freak of nature? I wasn't born with a hard drive this big enough to hold that much information.
I've not even got to the War of the Roses yet. Hang on.
I don't understand. How can you just summon this up from the depths
of
your mind?
Dustin Hoffman played him in the movie.
Right.
Now, but we haven't got... Grover Cleveland was king at two separate occasions. Wasn't he the only king to serve two separate terms?
Exactly.
So non-consecutive terms, that's right, yes. That's true, yes. But where was I?
I'm sorry about that.
Well, I was still...
Edwards? No,
we're still in the House of Plantagenet. Yeah. So anyway, Richard II, he lasted 22 years, then 1377 to 1399. He was then deposed by Henry Bolingbroke, who was Henry IV. Henry IV, 1399 to 1413. Now,
Henry IV had
a son.
Yeah, Henry IV had two parts to him.
He had three parts, didn't he? No, that was Henry VI. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, Henry II. Yes, Henry IV, Bolingbroke, yes, 1399 to 1413. And then, of course, Henry V, everybody's favourite. Henry, maybe, until we get to the big fat one. He didn't last very long, 1413 to 1422.
Who, Henry V didn't last long?
Henry V didn't last very long. He was only on the throne for 9 years before he died, and he left a six-month-old son, Henry VI, who was also very weak, and he was also completely mad.
But he beat the French at Agincourt, didn't he?
Henry V did, but his son was a bit rubbish. Anyway, he was deposed in, 1461 by Edward IV. This is now, it was House Lancaster, now it's House of York. And it keeps going backwards and forwards between York and Lancaster. Henry VI gets back on the throne in 1470, but then he's deposed again for the last time in 1471.
But you say Lancaster and York. These are the Wars of the Roses, is what you're talking about. The wars between the two houses of Lancaster and York. Yeah,
that's true. But they're all part of the same family. They were all descendants of Edward III's third son, John of Gaunt, and that's how it all. It was kind of like a little fighting. They're all
so they're cousins. They're all cousins fighting.
They are two houses of the same royal family. Yes. So there was a lot of fighting. A lot of, you know, that's mine, no, it's mine, no, it's mine. But mostly between two people, Edward IV and Henry VI. But it ended up with Henry IV until he died in 1483. And then his son, Edward V, came along. But he was one of the two princes in the Tower who apparently was killed by their naughty uncle, Richard III.
Richard Plantagenet.
And hidden under the stairs. I've read that book.
Yes. Although I don't believe it, to be honest. I think Richard III was a very nice guy. Anyway, Bosworth. This is the end of the War of the Roses. This is now the time of the Tudors. Henry VII, Henry Tudor, came along,
and
defeated.
Why do they call them Tudors? Why were they Plantagenets or Yorks and Tudors? What does that mean?
That's just the surname of the person. The Tudor.
It's like the current Queen Elizabeth, is her surname is Windsor.
Yes, but no, they were Mountbattens before that. They were. Prince Philip was his Mountbatten, and also
before that, was in his Saxe Coburg or something? Then he changed.
During the First World War, it was Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, which was changed because a lot of people thought they sounded very German.
Really? With a name like Saxe-Coburg-Gotha?
During the First World War, there was a few anti-German sentiments.
Really?
I don't know why, but yeah, so that's why they changed their name.
Anyway, getting back to the Tudors.
Anyway, there we are. So,
not the four doors, but the two doors.
This is now the exciting time, because it's a Tudor time, and everybody loves a Tudor. Yeah, it's very good. Yes, we don't have that here.
I prefer the reign of the hatchbacks, myself. Thank you.
That was Richard III, right? The hatchback? Am I wrong?
I am Jenny Barnett from BBC London 94.9, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week we begin our first national American tour of the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, taking it to Reston, Virginia, Charlotte, North Carolina, Fort Worth, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, Anchorage, Alaska, and for 3 weeks we'll be at San Diego Repertory Theater in San Diego, California. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
Anyway, Henry, I'll try and speed it up now. Henry Tudor was amassed great fortunes during his time, which is when he died in 1509. His son mostly spent most of Henry VIII, who was very thin and athletic when he became to the crown, and ended up an obese
Charles Lawton.
Yes,
and not a tall man according to his armor at the Tower of London.
No, just very wide.
Wide, yes, as wide as he was.
And syphilitic or something, or gonorrhea.
Yes, he had all of those things. Well, most people did in those days. It was kind of like, you know, it was kind of, you know, that's how you became wealthy. Oh, you got gonorrhea? Okay, yeah, you can have a knighthood. Yeah, go.
And that's, and you're saying that's not how it works now?
No, not at all. Not at all. And then when
however, however, if you are third in line to the throne, you can pretty much do whatever you want, Prince Harry, his royal hiney.
As long as it's on a billiard table, yes. Anyway, Henry VIII, here we are, Henry VIII. When he died in 1547, his third child, Edward VI, became king because he was the son, he was a male heir. But then he only lasted 6 years, and, you know, he didn't really want Mary Tudor, his elder sister, to become queen because she was Catholic. Dun, 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 dun.
Now, did the fact that this is the first woman we've heard, so was that any factor at all?
Well, no, there was.
Oh, right, Matilda, and it's a great musical. If you're ever in London, I'm sure it's coming to New York, Matilda, see it. It's great.
Absolutely, yeah, Matilda in the 12th century. But yeah, Mary Tudor was the first female monarch of any real note, particularly in this country. But she was terribly Catholic, and she married Philip of Spain, who was very, very Catholic. But they didn't have any children. So when she died in 15,
if they had children, would they have been Catholic? Dun, dun, dun,
dun. How could they be Catholics and have no children? They're supposed to have 73 children.
Well, yes, we'll be here all week. Try the meal. Yes, no. She had lots of phantom pregnancies, bizarrely. Anyway, she died in 1558, and then her sister, everybody knows Elizabeth, came along, and she was
the first one.
Yes, that's right. And she defeated the Armada of Philip of Spain because he came over to say, no, it's my crown. Blah blah blah. 1588, that she was defeated in Armada. And then she died in 1601, and succeeded her was the only person who.
Hang on, 1603.
I beg your pardon.
1603. I got a date wrong.
Austin knows this because he had been corrected by who?
I was corrected by some guy, some audience member, wherever we were on
in
tour.
York,
I
maybe?
No, it wasn't in York. I think we had been playing for several weeks. I think it was Salford.
Some, can't tell the part of it.
And I do a thing in the sports show about the Elizabethan sports report. Dateline 1604 is what I'd been saying. I just picked a number. And the guy said, "Well, surely, of course, you mean 1603, and I went, I do? Why? Why do I? Why? Oh, because she died in 1603. Really? Really? Did that? And you know, and we had been touring all the song. And Davey, I have to say, I was a little disappointed.
I don't pay attention to the show. You should know this by now. We got to the Stuarts. We're Scottish, obviously, you know, Scottish Stuarts, yes. Lord Darnley was a Stuart, yeah. Anyway, James I died in 1625, and his son Charles I came along, and he was a little bit of a knob.
Weren't all the Charlies kind of knobs?
Yeah, Charlies usually are, yes, a right Charlie, yes. And he believed in the divine right for him to be king, and the fact that, you know, he should be able to fix his own taxes and Parliament can go away, thank you very much. And Parliament said no. And so then we had quite a few civil wars, three in fact, I believe.
Right.
Which ended in his execution outside of Banqueting House on Whitehall in January 1649. So then you had the Protectorate, the Commonwealth.
Cromwell,
Oliver Cromwell, until September 1658 when he died. And then his son took over, and he was called, delightfully named, Tumbledown Dick. He wasn't very good. And then then within 1660, they'd asked Charles II, who had been in France all this time, to come back and can we have the restoration back? Can we restore the monarchy?
And I saw the documentary about this, V for Vendetta, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny when you talk about
really the accurate that one.
When you talk about the Charlies and the Protector Cromwells, you're talking about the 1640s, and that's when my ancestors came over to the United States.
Yeah, fair weather's people. We've only got 350 years to go. Charles II, yes, he was restored to the throne in 1660. He made it to 1685 and then he died, and he didn't have any children, so his brother became King James II, and guess what he was?
Dun, dun, dun!
Yes, he was a Catholic. But the British government, the English government, thought that was we've had enough of you Catholics now, so they got rid of him in 1688 and invited a distant relative to come over, William of Orange, with his wife Mary, but then Mary died in 1694.
Now, why was he William of Orange? Was he ginger or was he
red? He was from Holland.
Dutch.
Yes, William and Mary, but Mary died in 1694, leaving William to continue till 1702. When he died, a sister came along, Queen Anne, mm-hmm. And in 1707 was the Act of Union, and this is when Britain was born. There was an Act of Union, and
was it great at that point, or just sort of average?
Well, Great Britain is don't think of think of great as in larger, not as in bestest.
Got it.
Anyway, Anne died in 1714, and then we get the Georges, who were mostly German. George I, he was definitely German. He died in 1727, and George II, he was definitely German, his son. He died in 1760. George III, his grandson, he was very much German. But he lasted the longest. He lasted a good 60 years till 1820 when he died. He was mostly mad at the end of it, you know, the last sort of like...
When he lasted the longest and lost the most.
Yes, that's right. Exactly, lost the Americas.
Just from a British perspective, you know, in America, you know, taxation without representation. When you learn history in Britain, what do they teach you about the American Revolution?
It's not very well taught in Britain because it's not one of the more glorious parts of the British. We talk about Hastings. We talk about the First World War, the Second World War, the Falklands War. Even I think is on the syllabus these days. You know, maybe the War of the Roses. When I get to George IV, George IV was he looked after the crown for the last 9 years of his. Prince Regent he was a regency until the death of George III in 1820. He then reigned for another further 10 years himself. He didn't have any surviving children, so his younger brother William IV became king, but he lasted only 7 years. And so then it was a niece who came to the throne, Victoria, in 1837. She lasted a rather long time. She was
Victoria Regina,
married a German, and she lasted until 1901. Her son Edward VII took over. He died in 1910. Then George V from 1910 to 1936. 1936 was the abdication crisis with Edward VIII marrying an American. Dun dun dun!
Divorcee.
Dun dun dun! And of course, then.
Colin Firth.
Colin Firth took over in 1936. But then he tragically died in 1952. And then we have Elizabeth I. And that is the history of the United Kingdom and England and the British Isles, and I'm never going to do another podcast ever again.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your royal trivia via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Royal Fool Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. You also heard our song Dem Kings from the Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show and Magna Carta from the Complete Millennium Musical Abridged, both of which are available at iTunes. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jill Robinson. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Davey Naylor and to his wife, Catherine Naylor, who gave us that valuable insight into myths and legends. Thanks also to Jenny Barnett from BBC Radio London. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 310 930ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
The four.
It's just so sexy.
Could somebody hose down Catherine,
wait,
please?
A minute. Are you being serious? I mean, had I studied and then actually retained information?
Marry that. I would can't marry that.
Now, first there was good King Edward I.
The next was Edward II.
And next came a king named
Edward II. Father of Richard II.
And now here's the War of the Roses.
Damn kings, damn kings, damn.
Gee, Dad, what was the War of the Roses?
Well, they call it the War of the Roses, son, but there weren't nothing rosy about it. It was North versus South, slave versus free, industrial versus...
Dad, wasn't that the Civil War?
Well, they called it the Civil War, but there weren't nothing civil about it. It was brother versus brother, sister against mother-in-law, the American Gladiators against the World Wrestling Federation. Now shut up, son, and let me learn you something.
Now here's the War of the Roses. So Richard II was murdered by Henry IV, and Henry IV was murdered by Henry V. Henry V was made into a movie, and Henry VI is the heir to the throne. Now of Henry VI, Shakespeare wrote 3 plays, but no one's ever seen them because they're boring.
Edward IV is not a play, but it's a gay pub.
And Edward V is the heir to the throne. But Edward V was murdered in the tower by his uncle Richard III, who was a hunchback, and he went to college at Notre Dame. And Henry VIII was a pop song by Herman and the Hermits.
I'm Henry VIII, I am.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.